Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
I made some wine. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. I'm nationwide. Yeah,
yeah. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Still broadcasting live from New York City. And have a great time doing that and spending some time with you and introducing you to really smart, really interesting people. And this half hour, that person is Dr. William Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, professor of economics at Temple University, formerly the head of the entire business school. And our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you back. And so now, are you you're through with classes for the summer, right?
Oh yeah, a couple weeks ago, we turned in the spring semester grades. So I've been trying to unpile my desk, all the things that I didn't do while I was busy grading papers.
Here's a curveball question that you didn't expect. We used to, folks, as you know, Bill Dunkelberg, for over 30 years, has been compiling small business owners' responses to questions about the economy. He's been reporting that to whoever would listen. And for the last eight or nine years, we've been listening very intently. We've had him on every month. He's been gracious enough to join us every month to bring us that report. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But Bill, let me ask you this question first. How would you compare today's student as compared to, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago?
That's a good question. I would say, about the same level of seriousness, I think, but far less skillful with math, and they have a hard time writing proper English sentences. Their grammar is
really
terrible. They can't write. Handwriting is terrible, of course. That's because everybody types now on the computer.
Right. Right.
The handwritings are terrible, so when you do an exam, you get 100 exams, you'd be lucky if you can read 5 of them. I mean, you have to translate it twice. But the math skills are terrible. They're just terrible. They can't do anything without a calculator. So as long as the supply of batteries.
But we saw that we could see this coming in the early 70s, Bill, right?
Oh yeah, we do. We said,
I mean, when the calculator came out and we did away with slide rules and that sort of thing, I grew up I can still do pretty complex math in my head, but
exactly.
But it was because I learned math before there were calculators.
Right, and
no audience. It wasn't the abacus. It was later than that. But go
these
ahead.
Kids can't even do approximations. That's kind of conceptually they can't, figure out a ratio or something just by kind of rounding numbers that are and then
yeah.
I mean, they just don't. They need a calculator to figure out what 1 over 0.5 is.
Wow.
Or even 1 over 0.2 or 1, I mean, they have no idea. They have no concept of, well, there are 2.5.
And it's not, that they're not smart enough, it's just that they've not had to rely on that.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Well, I've noticed that in the spelling of some of the young people I've been around. And these are smart people, and especially some of the young technology experts that I've dealt with. You ask them when they start spelling something, they have a hard time spelling certain kind of fairly common words.
Well, then look at the errors in the Wall Street Journal and other top notch publications. It's amazing the grammatical mistakes now that you see.
Yeah,
people don't know. The people who are checking, the writers don't know.
I saw something the other day, maybe it wasn't the Wall Street Journal, and it said something about, where was it? That was in a magazine, I guess. And it said, the person was being quoted, and they said, and this is very important for my wife and I.
There you go. That's a mistake they make all the time.
You see that all the time.
Right. I tell my...
Obviously, that should be my wife and me.
My friends and me went.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's a little tricky. You have to think about it. You know, sometimes I have to think about it. I have to do the little test, you know.
Right.
But
drop
like
the other
person. Exactly. But it's so maybe it's not so much not knowing as it is just going to the effort.
Right. And
see, I'm one of these people when I write email, you know, I can't send an email that has grammatical or misspellings. I just can't do it. I have to go back and read it again.
What I see a lot too is things like the Fed will higher interest rates instead of raise them.
Well, that's coming from India, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. And there, you know, there is a generic word now. It could be any old way. It's contextual now.
Exactly.
You figure out what it means. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like
theory.
That is from texting, though, I think. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to get right into Bill's report, right after these messages. 20 till.
Searching for something to say.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. It's a pleasure to be visiting with you and our good friend, Dr. Bill Duckelberg. And Bill, this month's report, the Small Business Index is not too good, is it?
No, it isn't too good. It's we lost about 2 points, fell to 89, so I characterize that as like a 90 reading, which is 10 points below the average, which is just, you know, tad over 100 over 35 years. So we're down there. We're having I could just give you other low points. The low point in January 2001, and that recession was 96.5, so we're way off of that. In January of 91, that was our low point, and that was 91.4. So we're close there, about 2 points. And in 1980, of course, it was 80.1. We're 9 points or 10, you know, about 10 points above that, thank goodness. In January of 75, we were at 86.7. So clearly, we're better than 1980 and 1975, thank goodness.
But
and
those
really,
were real. Those were real deep
those
recessions,
were real,
though.
A real hummer of recessions. Right?
Yeah, those were benchmark recessions.
Right,
I mean, those were the mothers of all recessions.
Exactly.
And we don't even have a recession right now.
No, we don't. So we look pretty much. Sentiment looks very. You know, our May number looks very much like all the January. There are 10 components in the index. You go down and compare them. For example, plan to create jobs, 2% in May, 2% in January of 91. Plans to make capital outlays, 25 in May, 27 back then. Plans to increase inventories, -4, -2. So if I go through that, I'll look at all the components. They're all pretty much the same as 1991, except two. One is expect the economy to improve over the next 6 months. That was -12 in May, and it was -5 in 91. And expect higher real sales for your company, -11 in May versus 0 in January. So the expectations, you know, it's about expectations. If you took the expectations and made them equal to the January 91 numbers, we would have a much stronger index reading. So a lot of this is still in our head. It's not in the real economy as we see. Unemployment rate's 5.5%. Hey, that's very good historically, not bad. So we don't have recessions with 5.5% unemployment rates. So.
Well, you know, and I don't think sales are off that much. The profits are not off that much. We don't have a credit crunch on small business. You know, isn't it interesting what an emotional beast the marketplace is, Bill? Because I mean, basically, what's shocking our system, as I said in the previous interview. You know, if you have a car, if you have even a little bitty car that you were spending, you know, $45 to fill up, and now it's costing you $65 to fill up, that's a shock to your system. It's not just the $20 extra; it's the shock of the whole thing, and that's putting a damper on everybody, isn't it?
Right, and we're the energy and the food shocks are the shocks that hit us every week. So,
you drive down the road and see it on the signs.
Exactly. exactly, which is different from other kinds of issues that we have.
Don't we need somebody to grab us by the lapel and slap us a little bit across the face and say, you know, snap out of it. This isn't that bad.
That's of course not going to happen because this is a political year. There's an election,
right?
And so you know the Democrats. I mean, it's just a matter of convention.
Yep.
You're running against the incumbent party. You cannot say anything good about the economy. So
right.
You know all of the Democrats.
We've already heard this is the worst economy since the Great Depression.
Right, exactly, and that worked for Clinton, by the way. Remember that?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
The economy stupid.
Yep.
But you know, then you know, a lot of other people are. A lot of Republicans are also saying, you know, that the economy is not in good shape, and they're, because they're trying to, you know, position themselves against their own party, but the incumbents in their party, so that they can represent change as well. Everybody wants to represent change. So there's this huge bias against telling the story accurately this year. So it's not going to happen, and that's why in the Michigan survey of consumers, they had a record high percentage of consumers say. And this is 50-year record high percentage of consumers say they heard bad news about the economy in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Were they bombarded with
it? Yeah, it's called availability cascade.
Yep.
Availability cascade, folks, you've heard me say this before. When you hear something, anything in the media so much, you eventually start believing it to be true and you start taking steps, taking action based on what you believe to be true.
Yeah, and that, of course, happened with our small business owners. Remember...
Yep.
The week before the Fed started cutting rates in September, one in four of our owners thought the economy would be better 6 months later, which would be about
mm-hmm.
now, and 12 days later after the announcement, only five. So,
right.
You know, scared the bejesus out of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, the economy is structurally not in that bad a shape. We've got issues with inflation, like which comes in the form of higher petroleum, and all the things that connect energy have created higher petroleum and higher food prices.
That's right.
We've got a housing challenge right now, a serious housing challenge. There is a credit problem on the higher levels of credit, not on Main Street, but there is a credit on the higher levels and the very lower levels.
Right. The food price problem, of course, is really, you know, very independent. It really has to do with a bunch of droughts in countries that have happened, like the rice problem. And, of course, a huge increase in demand in India and China. They're richer now, and they want better food.
Right, exactly. They're eating more than they ever ate before.
Exactly.
And they don't understand.
Food prices up.
They don't understand why they can't get it. Quick break, 10 till. Right back with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A time to be born, a time to die.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. I hope you'll take advantage of all the things that we have that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And remember, no barrier to entry. If you can get to our sites, we'll let you come in and hang out, use our stuff. It's all there for you for free. So check them out, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, and he's our good friend, and he has a website I'd like for him to tell us about. And this is where, in addition to my homepage, you can also find Bill's this survey on Bill's website. Go ahead, Bill.
Right, smallbiz.org. That's smallbus.org. And, of course,
right.
That's NFIB. You can also see the report there.
NFIB.com.
Right.
The only thing I saw that looked a little positive, Bill, in your report, because... hiring is not good. Capital spending is not good. Inventories are not so great. Inflation, we know what that looks like. Profits weren't too bad, but the credit market, there's still not a credit crunch on Main Street, is there?
Not
for businesses.
Not one iota of evidence. In fact, the percent of owners who thought that it would be easier to get their financing over the next 3 months actually gained a point. So really nothing has happened. All this noise about the credit crunch and credit markets being frozen and not functioning, you know, it's still a Wall Street problem. And, you know, I posed this to some of the regulators. I said, look, if we had one big bank like Canada or Great Britain, would there be a problem? I mean, if you just took these 12 big firms and pushed them into one,
mm-hmm.
the big issue is they won't lend each other. Well, of course,
right.
then that problem evaporates. They still have the problem of they
are
made bad loans.
Are you proposing that bill?
No, absolutely not. I'm just
okay. Good.
You know, I'm just trying to get a perspective on who's got a problem and what's the nature,
right.
you know. And
right.
back to my point again, I think the Fed has made a mistake in cutting rates immensely because it doesn't
right.
help that problem.
Right.
In the meantime, it's certainly hurting small savers across the country. I mean, your money market funds are, you know, down 3.25 points in yield. That's a lot for a lot of people.
Right. Well, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who's got a mid-sized business, and he needs to refinance, and it's pretty significant levels, and he's having a hard time, not because he's not a credit worthy, it's just because there's a crunch going on, and
he's dealing with a big bank that has a lot of mortgage problems, right? But there are 7,000 commercial banks out there.
And it's not his problem; it's their problem.
Right, you're right. They don't have the money because they lost a lot. They have to recapitalize.
Yep.
But go to some of the smaller banks out there. You know, you go to a little bank like mine, Liberty Bell Bank, and we have smaller loan limits, but we can get a consortium together of 3 or 4 small banks, and we all share, and then we can make a pretty big loan. And you know, it's got to be a little innovative, because out there on Main Street, you know, we're still lending to anybody who's a good
yep.
credit. We have the money.
Well, Bill, you know, the thing is, though, is only on this show is anybody doing any reporting about the fact that credit is still good on Main Street, and that is helping small business owners. And that's yet another reason, Bill, why I say that small business will lead this economy out of whatever we're in.
Yeah, and that's usually the case. We're there. We're half the GDP, and we get the job done.
Yep. But show me the 30 seconds clip other than once or twice a week when they let you on.
That's once
to the
month.
Networks.
Yeah.
Once a month, okay. Name. Show me the other times when there's any reference to any of that.
Right.
To half of the economy. I mean, how can they just leave off half the economy?
Right. They spend forever and forever bringing on these people who work for these banks that are in trouble, and they come out and tell you that the world is ending.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
because from their perspective, it is. They sit up there in those buildings in Wall Street. Things are tough for them, and they think it's
mm-hmm.
tough for everybody. That's not correct. You know, we try to bring the message to the Fed. The Fed does get the data, and I know they work with it, so they at least
yeah.
have it. But you know, the phone. You know, Bernanke doesn't call any of the small banks or whatever.
Right, right.
You know, he talks to the big banks and says, "What do you need?" And Bank of America says, "We need, you know, really low. We need cheap money." And he says,
yeah.
"Okay."
yeah. Hey, Bill, let me ask you a question. What
yeah.
do you think is going to happen over the next 6 months to the economy?
I'd say that our growth in the next 6 months will be double the first half. Now,
which
what is,
that
saying? That's saying instead of a half a point of growth, we'll get 1 to 1.5.
So we may not like the number. But we've got to like the trend.
Yeah, the trend's going to be good, and it also will, I think, will kind of firm up the notion that
right.
you and I have peddled all along. We're not going to have a recession
right.
in any meaningful way.
One more quick thing. Are we experiencing a commodities bubble? Quick answer.
I think, yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
All right, take care, Jim.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.